Shalom to all. Today's Av Chol Dav Samach, and we are starting about the fifth line with the words Amalei Kesler Rabbi Shimon Chananya. And today's Av sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Bas Biakam Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So we already had two stories with a Caesar asking Rabbi Shimon Chananya something a little bit preposterous, and he regretted it afterwards. So we continue Amalei Kesler Rabbi Shimon Chananya. The Caesar told Rabbi Shimon Chananya, Beina de Itzvas Lei Namal Kaihu. I want to set up a nice suda for your God. And Namal literally means bread, but he means to say I want to make a nice suda for him. So Amalei told him, Lematzis, you're not able to do that. She asked Amai, why is that? The response was Nefishi Chalasei. That's because his chayolos, his troops, his soldiers, his legions, everything that he has surrounding him are just too numerous. You're not going to be able to set a suda for everyone. So Amalei told him, Ibra, in truth, I really want to do it. Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon Chananya told him, okay, Paik Tzavas Legid Revisa, go out and set yourself up by the bank of the Revisa River. The Revicha Alma, it's extremely wide, so you have plenty of space. What did he do? Tarach Shisa Yarchi Kaita, he spent 6 months of the summer preparing a gorgeous suda. And then what happened at the end? Asazika, a wind came, Kanchiliyama, and swept everything into the sea. What did he do? Tarach Shisa Yarchi Desisva. He worked for another 6 months of the winter, setting up another huge suda, Asamitra, then rain came, Tave Bihama, and drowned everything in the sea. So Amalei, he asked him, my hi, what's going on over here? I'm trying to set up a suda for Hashem, it's just not working. Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon Chananya told him, Hani, kinushayiz luchayid asu kamei. You did set up a suda, it was wonderful. What happened? These were the sweepers of the house, and those who spray water to keep down the dust. They just came by and had their part of the suda. The wind that had come first, that's like the sweepers of the house, and the rain that came is the water that used to spray to keep the dust down. So those are just two of the servants of Hashem. So imagine trying to make a suda for all the other ones. Amalei told him, Yachiv, that's really so. Lematzina, I'm not going to be able to do it. Now we have another story, this time with the daughter of the Caesar. Amalei Bas Kesler Rabbi Shimon Chananya, the daughter of the Caesar told Rabbi Shimon Chananya, Elikecha Nagrahu, your God, he's just a carpenter. The Pasuk says, Hamakar B'mayim Al Yosav, he roofs his upper areas with water. The Pasuk is really referring to clouds, but she was trying to make fun of Hashem by saying that he's a carpenter and that he makes roofs. And therefore, continues the daughter of the Caesar, Amalei, tell him, meaning tell Hashem, Denavali Chadim Misturisa, that he should make for me a misterisa, which is some sort of thing either meant for winding thread around it or for undoing thread, something like that. It's like a small little thing that a carpenter would make. So Rabbi Shimon Chananya said, L'chaye, and Baal Rachmei Allah, he davened for mercy about her, and V'enga, she got struck with tsaras, with leprosy. What happened to her? The same thing that happens to everybody in Rome that gets struck with leprosy. Azvu b'shuka d'raimi, they put her in the marketplaces of Rome, the Avila misterisa, and they gave her a misterisa, davened higi, that was their minug, the chol d'mnaga b'raimi, anyone in Rome who got tsaras, yavu le misterisa, they would give them this misterisa, v'yasa b'shuka, they'd sit in the marketplace, v'sasar d'ulali, and they would undo threads, or they would wind threads, and why would they do this? Kech d'lechsu inshi, so that people should see them, v'li b'rachmi ale, and daven for mercy for them, that their tsaras should go away. So here we have the daughter of the Caesar being stuck in the marketplace of Rome doing this. Now Yemachad one day, Havakhalf Hasam, Rabbi Shimon Chananya was passing by there. Havayasav Sasu Dalali Mishuka de Remai. She was sitting in the marketplace of Rome doing this thread thing. So Amalei, he told her, Shapirta Misterisa Diyalechalekai. You see, my God gave you a wonderful Misterisa. He gave you this little tool that you asked for. Amalei, so she said, Amalei Lekayach, please ask your God, Lishkomai Diyavli, to take away whatever he gave to me. So Amalei, he told her, Alekadi Don, our God, May of Yav, Mishkalai Shakel. He gives, but he doesn't take away. On to more descriptions of animals. Amar Yehuda, he tells us, Shar, how do we know what a shar is? Karsasanu Parsasan has a very wide karas, very wide stomach, and has wide hooves. Rav Reshe has a large head. Rav Genufte, and it has big tail. Bechiluf Bechamara, the exact opposite is in a donkey. Ask the Gemara Lainaf Kamino, what's the practical difference? The answer is, the Mechachomemker, when it comes to buying and selling, these are the simanim that you should look for to make sure that you're buying a good shar or donkey. Now, from review to review, also said, Shar Sheker of Adam Arishain, the shar that Adam Arishain brought as a karban, this he brought when there was a second day, when it became night, he thought the world was getting destroyed because of his Avera. When it came morning time, he realized that this is just the cycle that Hashem created, so he brought a shar as a karban. So that shar, Karen Achasai Soloi Metzchai, it had just one horn in its forehead. Shemar, because the Pasuk says, Vesitav Lashem, Mishar Par, Makrin Mafres. And it'll be more pleasing to Hashem than the Shar Par, which is Makrin Mafres, literally meaning horned and hooved. Ask the Gemara, why is that a rayo? Makrin Tarti Mashma. The word Makrin, as we translated it, is horned, which means it has two horns, not one. So Amram Nachman answers, Mi Karen Ksiv. Since in the Pasuk it doesn't have a yud in the word Makrin, it could be read as Mi Karen, which means of a horn. In other words, it only had one horn, not two. And Rabbi tells us, Shar Sheikh of Adam Rishon, Karen of Kedumas Leparsaisov, the Shar that Adam Rishon brought, its horns came before its hooves, which means when it was created, when it came out of the ground, it came out head first. So first the horns came, and then the hooves. How do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Visita Vlashem, Mi Shar Par, Makrin Mafres, and explanation is Makrin Beresha Vahadar Mafres. First it says Makrin that there was horns, then it says Mafres that there was hooves. And Messiah Rabbi Shimon Levi, this is right for Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi tells us, Kol Masim Bereshes, everything Hashem created in the beginning, B'Kaimasa Nivru, they were created in their Kaima, in their height, meaning they were fully formed already. B'Daitan, it's really L'Daitan Nivru, they were created according to their knowledge, meaning they were asked, it's really their Malach was asked asked beforehand, do you want to be created? And Betzavyanim or Litzavyanim Nivru, they were created in the way they wanted to be. They chose all their different qualities, how they want to be created. Shinam, the Pasuk says, Vaychul Hashemayim Va'arz V'chol Tzavam, and I'll take read Tzavam, don't read as Tzavam, Ela Tzavyanim. You see, when everything was created, it was fully formed already. It was a sharp hire, which already had its horns. It came out of the ground with its horns fully formed and everything. And then afterwards, as we had just said, the hooves came out last. We continue with more drashas. Darsho Chanin Bar Papa, he says, follows, the Pasuk says, Yihi Chvayr Hashem La'olam, Yismach Hashem Masav, the covet of Hashem should be forever. Ra'al Hashem rejoice in his works. Now, Pasuk Zeh, Sar Ha'olam Amarai. This Pasuk was said by the Sar Ha'olam, the minister, if you will, of the world. Now, the question is, when exactly did the Sar Ha'olam say this? So, B'shasha Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem had said, Limi Nehu, after its type or its kind, but Yulanis with trees, as the Pasuk tells us, Eitz Peri, Oise Peri Limi Noi, so we see that all the trees have to be Limi Nom, according to their kind. So, Nasu Deshaim Kalchurim Ba'atzmam, the Deshaim, which is like different types of grasses or herbage, they said the following Kalchurim to themselves, if Hashem wanted to come everything as a big mush, why did he say Liminehu to their specific men by the trees? Obviously, he wants everything to be clear and distinct and separate. And another Kavachimer, anyway, trees don't come out Berbovya. Every tree has to have its roots and its branches and they spread out. So it's not natural for trees to come out in a big mixture. Nonetheless, Hashem said to them, Liminehu, that they have to make sure to be separate. So Anu, us, we're just regular grasses, for sure we should make sure to be separate and not to grow together. And we add right away, each one of these grasses, the Deshaim, came out in their own specific min without mixing. And it was to this, the Pasuk Sar Olam Va'amar, the Sar Olam opened up and said, Yihi Chvayr Hashem La'olam Yismach Hashem Masav. Now, by Ravina Riyan asks as follows, Hirkav Shnei Deshaim Zal Gavzeh, let's say a person took two types of Deshaim and he grafted them together. Tzavachom Beis on top, L'Ruchanin Rapapa Mahu, according to R'Ruchanin Rapapa, who just told us that there was no specific command of Liminehu by the Deshaim. So what's the din? Kim Delikasabu Liminehu, since it doesn't say Liminehu by them, Loi Mechayev, maybe the person is not Chayev for grafting these two types together. I don't know, maybe Kim Dehiskim Aydayu, since Hashem clearly gave us a skama regarding what they did, maybe it's like it says Liminehu, and then there would be a Chiyov and Isser of grafting, and we conclude, Teiku. Now we continue talking about Maaseh Bereishis, Rosh Hashanah Parzi Rami, he asks as follows, Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, Vayasal Kim Hashnei Ma'aris HaGdolim, Hashem made the two great Ma'aris, referring to the sun and the moon, they were both equal in power and strength, Uksiv, but then the pasuk says, Esamahara Gadol Vesamahara Katon, the big Ma'ar and the small Ma'ar. But we had just said before that they were each the same size, so what does it mean there's a big one and a small one? And the answer is that Amar Yerelech Mnei Kosh Baruch Hu, the moon said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Efshel Shnei Malachim Shishtam Shem Kasser Echad, is it possible the two kings use the same crown? How could it be that both me and the sun are the same power and strength? Hashem told the moon, you shall make yourself smaller, and then you're not going to have two kings using the same crown. So Amar Lefanu, the moon said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hayel V'amart V'vanecha Dover Hagun, I told you something that made sense. Amayit Esatzmi, I should now make myself small. So Amar Lefanu, Hashem told her, you're going to go rule by day and by night. A lot of times during the day, you can still see the moon. So Amar Lefanu, the moon said to Hashem, Mayer Vuse, why is that special? The Shraga B'tiara Mayahani, what help is it to have a Shraga, a candle, in the daylight? So even though you might be able to see the moon during the day, that's not going to help. The sun is the one that's providing the light. So Amar Lefanu, Hashem said to her, Zil Limnu Bach Yisrael Yom Mishanim. The Yidin are going to count, they're going to make a cheshbin of their days and years based off of the moon, as we know that. So Amar Lefanu, the moon responded to Hashem, Yoy Menami, the sun also, Yef Shloy Manu Beit Kufaisa, it's not possible not to cheshbin the seasons by the sun. The Chsev, the Pasuk says, V'hayu la'aisis l'maydim l'yom mishanim, and they, referring to both of the ma'iris, the moon and the sun, are going to be for ma'idim yom mishanim. So it's not just the moon, it's also the sun. Hashem said, fine, zil likrut tzadiki b'shmeich, tzadikim are going to be called by your name. For example, Yaakov ha-katan, Shmuel ha-katan, David ha-katan. We find psukim specifically by Yaakov and David that they're called katan. Shmuel, there isn't a specific pasuk. However, there was a Tana Shmuel ha-katan. So great tzadikim are going to be called by you. However, Chazi Hashem saw, d'loikam yas v'daita, that the moon wasn't pacified. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Havu kapara laish miati esareach, bring a kapara for me that I made the moon smaller. And v'hanu d'Rav Shem Lakish, that's what Shlakish said. Manish tana sarsha rosh chodesh shenemar bo la Hashem. Why is it that specifically when we bring the sarsha of rosh chodesh, special rosh chodesh carbon, that it says that it's la Hashem and other musafim it doesn't say that? The answer is Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem said, sarsha zeh yehi kapara al shmiati esareach. This sarsha is a kapara for me, kavi yachol, that I made the moon smaller. And something else regarding my sabrachis, Ravasi Ram, he has a steer in psukim. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Vataytze aretz deshe, and the earth brought forth its deshe, betlaz b'shabso, that's on the third day of the week. And Ksiv, another pasuk says, V'chol siach hasade terem yeh ba'aretz, all the plants of the field, before they were on the ground, b'mali shabto, this is on Erev Shabbos. How do we understand this? It seems to be that on the third day, day of the week, all the plants were created, but by the sixth day, there's no plants there. What happened? And the answer is, Mamash Yotzu D'Shayim V'Omdal Pesach Karka, that teaches us that all the D'Shayim, they were ready, they were created, they came out, so to speak, but they were right by the entrance of the ground. They didn't pop forth. You weren't able to see them. And why not? Ad Shaba Adam Rishon V'Bikash Alayim Rachamim, that's until Adam Rishon came along and davened for them, V'Yard G'Shamim, rain fell, V'Tzamchu, then they sprouted, L'Med Chashakosh Baruch Hu Mis'al V'Lasson Shal Tzadikim, that teaches you that Kosh Baruch Hu desires the Tfilas of Tzadikim, and therefore he didn't actually have the grasses come out until Adam Rishon davened. And something similar, Nachum Papa, Havilei Higinto, Nachum Papa had a garden, Shadi B'Bizroni, he planted seeds in it, V'Tzamach, but it didn't sprout. And Barachme, he davened, Asamitra, rain came, V'Tzamach, and it sprouted, and Amri said, Hanud Ravasi, this is exactly what Ravasi just taught us. Now going back to our Mishnah, which describes Simani Kashris of animals, birds, fish, grasshoppers, so Aruchan Baravi tells us, Hashesua, the Shesua, Barib Ben Asmei is his own creation. Now what does it mean, the Shesua? So really, when the Pasuk tells us about split hooves, it says as follows, Mafrisei HaParsa HaShesua, and the basic understanding is that these three words go together. Mafrisei HaParsa means split hooves, and Shesua means it's completely split through the middle. However, Aruchan Baravi places the comma differently. He reads Mafrisei HaParsa as split hooves, and the Shesua as the first type of animal, which is not allowed to be eaten. And that's what he says, it's his own creation. Shesh LaShnei Gavon U'Shnei Shedrois, it has two backs and two spines. Was Moshe Rabbeinu a kenigi or balistari, which literally translated is a hunter or one who shoots arrows, that would be an archer, that he would know of such an animal? Mikan, Chuval Aymer, Ein Tarmin HaShemayim, this is one of the places we could respond to a person who says the Torah is not from Shemayim. It can't be. It has to be from Shemayim, because how else is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to know about this funny animal named the Shesua, if not for the fact that Hashem himself told him about it? Normally, you should write down these words, Kenigi and Blastari, in your Agada, Uparsha, and explain it, meaning explain what these words are. The reason why you want to write it down is because this is a very wonderful way of describing it. It's a great choice of words, and so therefore he wanted him to write it down. The Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua tells us, Chamesha Sarni Plishtim, the five rulers or princes of the Plishtim, Ho'azasi, Ho'ashdoidi, Ho'ashgaloini, Hagiti, Ho'akroini, Ho'avim. And the question is, Amr Chamesha V'chashiv Shisa, the Pasuk says there's only five, but it lists six. Amr Rabbi Yisrael, he explains, Arunke Shalhem Chamesha, the Arunke, meaning the Chashiv ones among them, there was only really five. The last one of him, they weren't considered Chashiv, and they're added on as a sixth, but really it's five. Now, this lashon that we just used, Arunki, is also a very fine choice of words. So, you should write Arunki, this pshat, in your Agado, Uparsha, and explain it. However, now, says Gemara, Pliga de Rav, this way that we just explained the Pasuk is not like Rav, Dama Rav. Rav says, Avim mitemon bo. He's last of the Sarni Plishtim that was mentioned. Avim, the reason why they're not counted as the original five is because they actually came from Taimon, and they're not real Plishtim. Tanam Hachavi Rabbasi, just like this, Avim mitemon bo. The Avim came from Taimon, and Volmanekar Shmon Avim, so why are they called Avim? She'iv Suas Makaimon, that's because they ruined their place when they left Taimon and they went to the Plishtim, that caused the ruin of Taimon. So that's why they're called Avim, which is the lashon of Ivsu, that they ruined it. Another understanding of the word Avim is She'ivu L'Kosharbe, as they desired many gods, and that's why they joined the Plishtim. Another understanding of the word Avim is She'kolaroi Oysom, Echazosai Avis, anyone who sees them is seized with an Avis, a trembling, because how scary they are. And Rabbi Yosef says, Vislu Shisri Dari Shini L'Cholchad V'chad, each one of these Avim has 16 rows of teeth, and that's pretty scary. Now Rosh Lakish says, Harbi Makrois Shru'in Lisraif, there's many psukim in the Torah that technically one would think to burn, because you read them and you think they don't belong in Torah, so maybe we should just cut them out and burn them. However, really, Hain Hain Gufei Torah, they're essential parts of the Torah, and we can learn a lot from them. Here's an example, V'ho Avim Hayashim Chatzer Mad Aza, these Avim we just mentioned, who dwell in Chatzerim, which is translated as open cities, until Aza, and the key is really the continuation of the Pasuk, Kaftarim Hayotzim Kaftar, Hishmidum V'yeshu Sachtam, the Kaftarim that came from Kaftar, they destroyed them and dwelled in their place. And so the question is, Manafkalon Mino, what does it make a difference? Why do we care who dwelled where, and who destroyed whom, and who took over? And the answer is, Mida Ashbe Avimelech Avram, since Avimelech swore to Avram, Im Tishkar Liul Ninu Lenechti, don't be false with me, or my son, or my grandson. And this was the pact, the bris, that was made in between Avram and Avimelech, who was the Plishti king. So Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Lesu Kaftarim Lipku Me'avim, let the Kaftarim come, and they'll destroy and get rid of the Avim, Dainu Plishtim. They were the Plishtim, as we just said. The Avim were among the Plishtim. Now that the Kaftarim are not Plishtim, so now, V'leis Yisrael, Lipku Me'Kaftarim, the Yidden are able to come, and they're able to drive out the Kaftarim, and they have no issue because there's no more Plishtim there. In case of the Ratarim, or similarly, you say, the Pasuk tells us, Ki Cheshbein Ir Sichon Melcha Mairihi, V'hu Nelcham Melcha Mayav Gaimer, Cheshbein was the city of Sichon and Mairi, and he fought with the king of Mayav, who took everything from him, Ad Arnoin. And it's the same question, Ma'anaf Kamino, what does it make a difference? Who conquered whom? The answer is, Omokash Baruch Yisrael, Hashem told the Yidden, Al Tot Yotzer's Mayav. Don't harass and bother Mayav. Don't start war with them. Amakash Baruch Hashem said, if the Yidden have to take over where Mayav is, but they're not allowed to start up with Mayav, so here's a great solution. Lacy Sichon, Lepik mi Mayav. Let Sichon come. He'll get rid of Mayav. Vlaisu Yisrael, Vlipik mi Sichon. And the Yidden will come and they'll destroy Sichon and they have no issues because they didn't start up with Mayav. And I know the Rapapa, this Rapapa said, Amenu Mayav, Tir Besichon, Amenu Mayav. They were purified by Sichon, meaning Amenu Mayav were taken care of by Sichon. Now the Yidden can come and they can fight with Sichon and take care of him, and they have no issues because they didn't start up with Amenu Mayav. We can deal with another example of a pasuk that seems to be not relevant, but we actually learn a lot from it. The pasuk tells us Tzidonim yikru l'chermoin Sirion, that the Tzidonim would call Chermoin Sirion, and the Mayri would call it Sinir, as the pasuk continues. Now, what does it make a difference what they would call the Chermoin? And the answer is Tanu Yav Abraisa, Sinir v'Sirion mehar Eretz Yisrael. Sinir and Sirion were actually two mountains in Eretz Yisrael. And what do we learn from this? Malameh shekol echad v'echad mi'umas ha'olam halchu banu lo'i krach gadol atzmai. Each one of the umas, they built themselves a large city, v'halloi al shem hari Eretz Yisrael, and they called it by one of the names of the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. L'metcha to teach you shafil hari Eretz Yisrael chavin alumas ha'olam, that even the mountains of Eretz Yisrael are cherished to the nations of the world. Here today we have a similar pasuk. It says about Yosef when he was the ruler of Mitzrayim, and they had given him all their money and everything because of the famine. He provided them with all the food. What does it tell us? Ves ha'am hevir oisei la'arim, and he moved the nation to the cities, meaning he shifted people around, took them from one city and put them to another, and had everyone play musical chairs in the cities that they lived. Now the question is, my nafkamino, what does it make a difference? Why do we have to know what Yosef did with the Egyptian population? The answer is, d'loy lekulechav galvasa, we learn from there, he didn't want his brothers to be called people who were in Galus, in exile. If everyone was living in their cities, and then his brothers came, and they lived in Goshen, everyone would say, ha, you guys are in exile, this is not really a place where you're from. So therefore, Yosef shifted the entire Egyptian population, moving them around to different places, so everyone felt like they were in Galus, and his brothers wouldn't be singled out. We're going to stop here for the day, and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss birds, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.